Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're starting a brand new Mishnah at the top of Daf Mem Dalid Omid Aleph. The principle of the Mishnah we've already learned before, and that is, whenever you have an Iker and a Tofel, you don't make two separate brachos, but rather the Iker is Mevatel the Tofel. Says our Mishnah, Hevi Lefon of Meliach. Meliach says Tap Rashi, Kol Dover Meluach, anything which is salty. Nowadays, meliach is used euphemistically as a reference to herring. However, the real word meliach means anything which is salted. If they brought that patchila, that was the first item to be eaten. And then they brought upas imoy, and they brought pas together with the meliach. Why did they bring pas together with the meliach? To act as an accessory, as an additional food item together with the meliach, but the principal food item here was the meliach. Mevorach al meliach, make a brach on the meliach, who poitis a pas, and the pas will be potter. This is, of course, a big chiddush, because when we started off our perek, we said that pas is considered to be one of the choshevsta, if not the choshevsta food, and that's why it merits its own special bracha.
Because of the sustenance.
Because of the sustenance, because of the nourishment, because it was the basic staple for thousands and thousands of years. Many people, still a basic staple. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah, in this instance, since the person really wants to eat the meliach, the pas is going to be tofel to the pas. Which meliach are we talking about? We'll see in the Gemara momentarily. This is the general rule. Kosher hu ikar, the imoit feila, anything which is the ikar, the primary, and other things that you eat together with are tefela, they're secondary. You make a bracha on the ikar, and that pot is the tofel. You don't have to make two separate brachas. Is that even possible that meliach should be the ikar and the pas should be the tofel? Meaning the Gemara assumes that it's a double poshet that in all families and in all appetites and throughout the world, the staple, the major food is pas. And how could it be tofel to anything? How is that possible? Omer Vacha Bereid Rav Nida Omer Avashi, we're not talking about a simple case of salted items, but Ba'oichle Peiros Genoiser Shano. We're talking about the special Peiros of Genoiser. What was so special about Genoiser? The top Rashi tells us, Peiros Eretz Yam Kineret Chashuvim Minapas. Those are perhaps the sole item that we can think of that's more choshev than pas, that pas becomes tofel to it. So if you're talking about eating pas together with herring or something else which is salty, pas will still remain the ikar. It's dafka for eating peiros genoiser. That's what's so special. How did peiros genoiser get the name genoiser? And Rashi says that they are from the Yam Kineret. So just conveniently, we happen to have a Gemara Masechtas Megillah, where the Gemara tells us on the top of Daf Vav, on the third, fourth line, says that the Peiros Genoiser, that we all know that there's something known as the Yam Kineret, that's the Kineret River that you have northeast of Eretz Yisrael, east, not so north, whatever.
A lake.
Any thoughts about this? Good. Anyway, so Kineret, says the Gemara in Masechtas Megillah on Daf Vav, fourth line, Kineret Zugenoiser. Kineret really is part of the region, the area of Eretz Yisrael called Genoiser. V'loma nikra shmo Kineret. How did the Kineret River, lake, brook, stream get its name of Kineret? The Mesiki Peira Kekola de Kinri. Because all the peiros that grew in that area, on the banks of the river Kineret, in that whole region, they were so delicious. It was as if you were hearing the orchestra playing, you were hearing the kol of the kinar. Kinar is a harp. So therefore, that's why Kineret. So really, when you look at the next time you visit the Yam Kineret, you can tell all your friends the real name is Yam Genoiser. The reason why it's called Kineret is because the peiros arum in the entire region, they are so sweet, they are kikolad the kinri, like the sounds of the beautiful harp. Now all of that is very, very nice and poetic and beautiful. The only question is, we're saying that they're very, very sweet. So how Mishnah started off, person eating something salty, and now you're telling me that these are sweet peiros. What's going on over here? Make up your mind. Is it sweet? Is it salty? So in fact, there's Rabbeinu Yoina that says here in the back of the Gemara, Rabbeinu Yoina here in Masechtas Brachos, is a pirush on the Rif, and he says the following: Pirish peres ginoiser heim mesukim beyoiser. They are very sweet. The einam neecholim. You can't even eat them. Elim melech harbe. Unless you add to the peres a lot of salt. Why? Mepneisha hamesikus lo yazik lehem. So that the mesikus, so that the sweetness of the peri won't overwhelm the individual and cause chas v'shalom bodily damage. And therefore, you would go and take your sweet peres, add a lot of salt, and then oichlen oisem impas, you'd eat it together with bread. Menimtesha pas tfeila el haperois, the pas would be tofel, lefichach mavarech ala peres and poiter es pas. Kum tachois, that the ikar over here is the peres genoiser, and you're making a bracha on the genoiser, and that's pattering the pas. The one problem over here is, our Mishnah doesn't mention anything about the Genoiser, it only mentions about the Maliach, and says that you make a bracha on the Maliach, and that poiter is a pas. In fact, why would you even make a bracha on the Maliach? Because the Maliach, according to the Bein Yoina, is itself a toffel to the original Genoiser. So you should make a bracha on Genoiser, pater the Melech, and pater the Pas. And that's Toises is Kashi, if you look at the top Toises. So Toises, Boichle Peres Genoiser Shonu. Shehamaliach iker shehubal lihoshiv halev shenechlash mepnei mesikus haperois. Top places over here. What happened was the person ate the peiros, and he ate so many peiros, he's now having problem with his blood pressure. It's going up or it's going down. His heart feels faint because of all of the delicious peiros. How sweet they were. The lev nechlash. The lev has some sort of weakness because of the mesikas of peiros, and therefore, what does the person do? He goes and post eating the peiros, he eats the maliach. Nochmo, shemaliach ikur shehubo lahoshiv halev shenechlech from the mesikas of peiros. Vapashu leachrav tofel veinabo el beshvil hamaliach. V'imtoymar peiros have the ikur. Peiros is the ikur. Umaliach is tofel. V'livrach al peiros. V'livter kulu. In other words, just make one bracha on the peiros, assuming the peiros are, for instance, a bar piyetz. Make that bracha. That's going to be pater the maliach. It's going to pater the bread. Well, why are we talking about that? The maliach has its own bracha. Maliach itself is a tofel to the peiros genoise. V'yeshloimer. They didn't eat it at the same time. In other words, he ate the peiros in the morning at 9 o'clock. And he ate a lot of peiros. And it was so sweet. At 9:30, he calls up his doctor. He says, "Doctor, I just finished the peiros genoiser. It was delicious. But now I just feel so faint. What should I do? Should I call Mendy for Hatzula to take me to the hospital?" He says, "No, we have another eitzah. And that is, you can go and take some maliach. Take something very salty, eat it now, and that will counteract any of the negative implications and effects of the mesikas of the peiri." So at this point, I'm no longer eating the peiris. I'm now independently eating the maliach. I already made even a boir nefashis could be on the peiris genoiser. And if they were from the sheva minim shenishtab chum in Eretz Yisrael, then I already made my al ha'etz, val priya etz. The point is that we are starting something new. We're eating now the maliach to counteract what happened already previously from the eating of the peiros. Inami or another pshat. B'shoah she'achal a peiros kenoiser lohoyu shem adayin maliach upas to lohoyu yodea she'yecholish liboy machmas amesikus. He started off the meal tak at 9 o'clock, and then initially he said, "Oh, this is delicious. I could eat a ton of these." And he's eating until 9:15, and then all of a sudden he called over his wife and he says, "Oh, I feel a little bit faint. Do we have any maliach here?" "Yes, conveniently we have some maliach here inside the fridge. Please bring it to me quickly." And now the maliach and pas comes on the table. So now, since he didn't have in mind to eat the maliach, he didn't realize that the mesikus would really get to him. So therefore, now he makes a new bracha on the maliach. It's like a new suda, so to speak, because the original peiros were not moitzi the maliach because he didn't even intend eating the maliach. But you don't eat the maliach with peiros, with genoiser on its own. You take a piece of bread with it. So therefore, the maliach at this point will now become the ikar, and the bread will be the tofel to the maliach. Anyway, all of this is fascinating. The bottom line is, when it says in the Mishnah that the maliach is the ikar, it's taka true. But even more ikar than that was the peiros genoiser. That's what started this whole chain reaction. Yes, Mr. Friedlander.
Without the surgery that Toises was made on the text, we could conclude if you eat a pastrami sandwich, since the pastrami is the ikar and the bread is the tofel to it, you make a bracha on the pastrami, and you don't have to make a bracha on the bread, but it's not so.
First of all, for sure not so. But it's not the Tosis doing surgery, it's the Gemara. It's the Gemara that says, is it possible that Maliach should be Iker and Pas Tefela? Says Gemara, Taka, we're not talking about Maliach, the real. When we see the word Maliach in the Mishnah, we should put a big parenthesis after it. Genoyser, Peiris Genoyser. That's the rare exception to the general rule that Pas is king and that everything else is Tefel to it. This is a situation where one eats Peiris Genoyser, and we'll see in a moment, we haven't really gotten through it yet. We're going to see about the huge quantities of Peiris Genoyser that people ate because it was considered to be the greatest delicacy in the world. It was so delicious, as you'll see in the Gemara shortly.
There's a kibbutz Genoyser presently in Eretz Yisrael. On the Kinneret. And basically, if you drive around the Kinneret, you'll pass by, say, Kibbutz Genoser.
Do they sell peiros?
I wasn't able to stop. I wanted to, but I was very curious, remembering this Gemara, what the peiros there were like.
He was so overwhelmed by the
Since I was driving, I was afraid if I ate them, I wouldn't be able, I'd be...
You didn't have the melach.
Driving under the influence of Peiris Genoser, I might be, I might get thrown in jail.
You should know we're going to deal with that shortly in the Gemara. Anyway, but... So all of this is fascinating. By the way, there's Rishash in the back of the Gemara, and he says he thinks that all of these Pshatim seem to be a little bit remote, and he says he thinks that one of the Peiris Genoyser, the name of the Peiris Genoyser, was Maliach. A subset of the Peiris Genoyser was Maliach, and we say in the Mishnah, Hevi Lefana Maliach, we're not talking about bringing salty items, salty foods, we're talking about bringing Peiris Genoyser, which had the name of Maliach. Anyway, Ayin Shom in the Rishash in the back of the Gemara. But getting back to your pastrami sandwich, even though the person loves the pastrami, very, very rarely will a person just go and take pastrami on its own. Except, of course, if you're at you're taking at the smorgasbord and you're afraid there won't be any food at the chasana, so then you have to go and take a lot of that pastrami. But normally, if you're eating that for your meal, you would eat it together with a piece of bread as a sandwich, because you don't want to overwhelm your body with the salt of that pastrami. You want to be able to eat it together with the bread, which is the major staple. But regardless, anyway, back to our Gemara. From here to roughly another 15 lines, the Gemara is going to tell us about the overwhelming effect and deliciousness, if there is such a word, of the Peiris Genoyser. So it tells him what. Omer Vashi, we said that. Omer Abba Bechana, ki hava ozlin en basi to Rabbi Yochanan, lemeichel Peiris Genoyser. When we would go and accompany and escort Rabbi Yochanan, who was on a mission, so to speak, to eat Peiris Genoyser, in other words, they were in that region, that area, and they were collecting Peiris Genoyser for Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Gemara is going to talk about huge quantities. And remember, we had in the Gemara already before that Rabbi Yochanan was a Baal Basar. Baal Basar means that he was somewhat corpulent or somewhat heavy. And therefore, he apparently ate a lot. And the Peiris Genoyser were absolutely delicious. So the Gemara tells us, Ki havizlin basrid Rabbi Yochanan, when we were following and escorting Rabbi Yochanan to eat from the Peiris Genoyser, Ki havinim beimea, if there were 100 Talmidim traveling with Rabbi Yochanan, each one of us would go and take 10 of the Peiris Genoyser. So if the 100 people taking 10, Daniel, I need you for the arithmetic now. If you have 100 people carrying 10 Peiris each, how much do you think you have altogether? 100 carrying 10. Roughly. Roughly 1,000. Exactly. Roughly 1,000. However, on the other hand, if there were only 10 of us going, then each one of us would go and carry 100. How much is 10 times 100? Also 1,000. So if there were 100 of us, each one would take 10. 10 times 100 is 1,000. If there were 100 of us, we'd take 10. 10, take 100. Good. Wondering how large were these pears. You would think to yourself, maybe they were as big as a quince, or maybe they like small blueberries.
Blueberries.
100 of them have a machzik lehu, would fill up a tzana, a basket, a bar, the size of tlosa savi, 3 sa'a, otherwise known as an eifa. So how large is 3 sa'a? 3 sa'a is 432 bayim. It's the volume of 432 bayim. How do you get to that? Because every single sa'a has in it, Mendy, 3 kava.
Right. 6 kava. 6 kava.
Has 6 kava? A sa'a has 6 kava?
No, it has 3 sa'as.
Okay, start again. You're right. Askalab Goidu. Thank you both. It's good to have you here. Especially since Daniel didn't want to help us with the numbers before, so it's good that you're helping out. Shkosh. Not chapter. Anyway, so you start off with an eifah. Eifah is equivalent of three saw. Every eifah has in it three saw. That's our Gemara, three saw. Every saw has in it six kaven. Every kav is in many, how many?
Four
what?
Lugin.
Four lugin. Every lug has in it six eggs. Good. So now we're starting off with three, and we're going to multiply three times six. 3 times 6 is 18. 18 times 4 is 72. 72 times 6 is 432. So you have in the three saw, you have the volume of 432 eggs. That's only if you're talking about 100. Here we're talking about 1,000. So you have to multiply 432 by 10. It's 4,320 eggs. 4,320 eggs. If you're just trying to get a sense of how much that is, it's buying in the store 360 dozen eggs. You buy a dozen eggs and one, 360 of those. That was the volume that we're talking about. Now you're wondering who ate it all. Ba'achalahu and Rabbi Yochanan would eat this entire quantity. It sounds a little bit like a guzma, like an exaggeration. But the Gemara says, "Mishtaba." After he finished eating, he would say, "Toleitom ziyuna." He felt as if he ate nothing. That's how sweet it was. I had no food. Faiti Mark, come on, King, give me a break. Come on, ziyuna sokadaita. La'ima mezoinen. Mezoinen means I didn't eat anything that satisfied or satiated me. Even after eating all of that, he still had room to go and eat at the chasana and afterwards at the Viennese table. He still had enough room because there's so light on the stomach and all the rest, and that's why, of course, the heart gets so light, lightheaded. Good. Anyway, that's the story of Rabbi Yechanan. Then we come to the Bavo. Ochel adhav shorikli dudva me'apusa. He ate so much that eventually the fatty oils in the peiros genoiser would come out of the pores on his metzach, on his forehead, to the point that if a fly would try to land on his forehead, it would be so slippery he would slip off the forehead of Rebavo. The word dudva is like the word zvuv, because Dalet and Zayin are mischalef in Aramaic, so it's as if it's vuv. Ve'apuse from his forehead. Shorikle, he would slip and slide. He wanted to go and stand there, and he couldn't. He was skating back and forth. He wasn't able to stand in one place. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi have achli adunotar mezayin. They ate so much until their hair started falling out. Now, getting to the question about the drinking under the influence. Shimon ben Lakish have ochel. He would go and eat so much ad demorid. Rashi says morid means date mitarefes. That means that he would get a little delirious. To the point, va'amulu Rabbi Yochanan the main nesiyah. Rabbi Yochanan sent an email to the Beis Hanasi. Va'have mishadalei Rabbi Yehuda nesiyah. Rabbi Yehuda nesiyah, who was the nasi at that time. That's not the famous Rabbi Yehuda nasi. That's a grandson. The other one is called Rabbi Yehuda nasi. This is called Rabbi Yehuda nesiyah. And what did he do? He sent balushi abasrei. The balushi, says Rashi, means ochluse bnei adam. In other words, a whole group of people to go umaisla the base to escort Reish Lakish home. They didn't want him to drive on his own. They were afraid that he was so overcome and overwhelmed, almost drunk, so to speak, by eating the peiros genoiser, that he might lose his way, and who knows, he might get into an accident. So they would go and escort him home. Anyway, what we see from the Gemara is that genoiser was very, very delicious, very, very light on the stomach. People loved it. It was so sweet. Because of that, you had to add the salt, and you had to even add a piece of bread to kind of dull the effect, the negative effects of the sweetness. Anyway, now, since we spoke about large quantities, the Gemara tells us further about large quantities they had in Eretz Yisrael. Ki also Avdimi Omar, when Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he told us the following. Ir acha soiso lo liyani ha-melech, the Har-Melech. In Har-Melech, that was a place in Eretz Yisrael, there was a city on the Har-Melech that belonged to Yanai ha-melech, and there, Yanai ha-melech would have the following. They would have huge, huge fig orchards, and for that they needed numerous, numerous employees to go and cut all the figs. And to be able to enable them to have koyach to cut all the figs, they gave them free lunches. What was the lunch? They gave them all tuna fish. What were the quantities of tuna fish that they had to give every single day? So the Gemara tells us, shoyim meitziyim mimena shishim riboy, they would go and produce on a weekly basis 600,000 safli basins, tirias, of tuna fish, lekoytetzei te'enim, for the fig cutters, the fig harvesters, the Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. So for 1 week, they would need for all the people that would cut the ta'anim 600,000 basins full of tuna fish. You can see how many employees they must have had to go and have such huge quantities. And the Gemara says similarly, Ki Asu Ravin Oma, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Ilan Echad Hoyu Lodiyane Melech Bahar Melech, besides the city that we just spoke about, there was one huge tree in the Har HaMelech, shohi meridin mimenu arboim so'a goizolois misholich breichos b'chodesh. That 3 times a month, sholich breichos means 3 periods, 3 times a month, let's say the 10th of the month, the 20th of the month, and then at the end of the month, each time they would go and remove 40 so'a of brand new goizolois. Goizolois are brand new hatched pigeons that would grow on the tree. They would guess the mother would go and lay the eggs, and then they would all hatch on the tree, 40 so at a time. So every month they would be able to be mowed. They would go and lower 120 so of gezolus of these new pigeons. So now we're leaving the great quantities of food and of birds, and now we're going to talk about something else. The name of this city was Gufnis. There were 80 peers of Achim Kehanim, of brothers that were Kehanim, Nesum, that were married, Lishmoinim Zugais Achoyus Kehanim, Kehanois, that married 80 peers of Kehanois sisters. In other words, you had 80 families that had 2 sons each. Those families were all families of Kehanim, and generally, if the parents are Kehanim, or the father's Kehanim, generally the children will also be Kehanim. So therefore, we had now 80 families, 2 boys each, 2 brothers, who married 80 other families of Kehanois, where, again, the father, of course, was a Kohen, but he had daughters, so you paired them up, 2 sons to 2 daughters, 2 sons to 2 daughters, 2 sons to 2 daughters, or 2 sons to 2 sisters, or 2 brothers to 2 sisters, 80 times.
For Yavamas, this would be an issue.
This would be fascinating. But Baruch Hashem, hopefully they all lived for many, many years with many, many children, so you didn't have any Yimim situation.
How is this related to the previous Gemara?
I think it's just trying to show you how...
extraordinary?
Extraordinary, good. And before we talk about extraordinary amounts of food, now we're talking about extraordinary situations with numbers of people. That in one place, one city, Gufnis, we're not talking about the whole Eretz Yisrael, in one city they had at least 160 Kehanim families, where 80 of them were Meshadach with the other 80, 2 boys to do, 2 girls each, 2 brothers to 2 sisters. This is also an extraordinary thing. You don't find this every day. And in fact, Gemara will tell us shortly that in other cities they try to do it and they are very, very shvach. Anyway, Shehoyu Bashmoinim Zugas Achim Kehanim, 80 peers of brothers Kehanim that married 80 peers of sisters Kehanois. Ubodku Rabban Misurva Nerdo. They went and checked in Bavel to see if there was anything similar to that. For the Ashkechu, the only thing they were able to find was Bar Mibanse to Rav Chisda, the 2 daughters of Rav Chisda. They were 2 Kohanois, because Rav Chisda was a Kohen. They have a Nesivim, and they were married to Rami Bar Chama, Ulmar Ukva Bar Chama, who were 2 brothers. However, they were not Kohanim. They were either Leviim or Yisraelim. The Avagav the Inhi, even though the ladies, meaning the 2 daughters of Rav Chisda, the 2 sisters, have a Kahanto, they were Kohanois. They married 2 brothers, but those 2 brothers were not Kohanim. Inulay have a Kahani, but rather they were just 2 ordinary Yisraelim. Barry is going to tell us that after Rambam Chama passed away, who became now the new son-in-law of Rav Chisda?
Rav. Machlokes, brother, it's Rav was a Kohen and Kufam Gimel in Chulin.
Exactly. Okay, but that's not going to help us because Rav and Marv Ukva were not brothers. Exactly. Anyway, so bottom line is that this was something considered very extraordinary. And now we're just going to finish off. We spoke about the Maliach. Omer Rav Kol Suda She'ein Bo Melach Ein Suda. Any Suda that doesn't have any Melach is not considered to be a Suda. Why is Melach considered to be so important? So we've already mentioned a number of things about Melach previously. Number one, that you need Melach V'Lifton for your bread. Toisis said back a few blad ago that even if your bread was a beautiful, wonderful bread, like the bread that they gave from the Kesar or from the Reish Kalusa, really wonderful, wonderful bread, nevertheless you should still have melach because it's a skula to be megan against the sultan. The sultan, unfortunately, is very upset when people sit at a table and they are waiting and waiting and waiting for the botseya, for the person to cut the challah or to cut the bread, and in the meantime they can't say a word. Otherwise, if they were able to speak, they would certainly repeat a shtickle Torah from our Gemara. They'd tell the story about Rabbi Yochanan, they'd tell the story of Reish Lakish, they would say other Divrei Torah, but now they can't say anything. So the Melech is Megan on them because of the Indian that it's a Brith Melech that is Megan on people that cannot speak at the table and cannot say Divrei Torah. Right, we had that many before, Gedenk, so that Masa. So that was the Melech. If you want to just check it out again.
Orders.
Yeah. So,
Megan,
it protects. Yes, in fact, that would be very much appreciated. Shkoyach. When we need you again for the arithmetic, I'll let you know. But Shkoyach for being. Thank you. Anyway, for those of you that are curious, you can go back to Daf Nem Omid Aleph. There the Gemara said that one should go and bring Melech in the middle of the Omid. We have Omer Rabba Bar Shmuel. Okay, that was later on.
Ramnachem.
Sorry?
Menachem.
Yeah, Rab Mendi, that's why I said Menachem. So if you look at the top of Mem Omer Aleph, the Gemara said Omer Rav, toil Baruch, ain it Tzorech Levarech, Hove Melech, Hove Lifton Tzorech Levarech. If a person made Hamoitzi and he wants to now cut a piece of the challah, cut a piece of the bread, normally you're not allowed to speak, otherwise there would be a hefsik. He can say, however, those words which are nogeya, which are important for purposes of distributing the bread or the challah. So therefore he can say, toil baruch, he can say, no, hashtiku, no, take, macha brucha, etc. That's okay. In other words, there are 5 or 20 people around the table, and he's giving everybody a shtickle. Some people are kind of spacing out, so he said, no, and he's giving them a piece of challah, etc. But Havi Melech say, bring salt, or those, that would be a hefsi. But Rabbi Yochanan said, Afil Havi Melech, Havi Lifton, Nami Einet Tzarech Levarach. You don't have to make a new bracha, because Melech and Lifton is so essential to the eating of the bread, and that's why that you would be able to go and speak out and would not consider to be a hefsi. Then if you skip down to the two dots, about 10 lines in, Omer Rav Bar Shmuel Mishum Reb Chiya, Eina Beitzei HaRishoy Lev Tzoya, the cutter of the challah or of the bread should not cut at Sheviyu Melech HaLifton Lefnei Kol HaChaviyacha. So we don't have this problem of saying, no, Melech, where's the salt? Make sure the Melech is on the table before he even cuts the bread, so there won't be a hefsi. But then the Gemara told the Rav Bar Shmuel visited the Reish Galusa. They gave him a piece of bread, and there was no salt on the table. And he says, "Less dain tzarech boishesh. It doesn't require. This is such a fine, wonderful bread. It doesn't need any relish or any salt to enhance the taste of the bread." So then Toisa says, so therefore, based on that, since all of our bread is considered to be upper class, triple A. Sorry.
Yeah.
Very, very good quality bread. So we shouldn't need any melech or lifton on the table. Let's see if you look in the middle of the top choices. V'onu ein regilin. This is about 6-7 lines into the narrow lines. V'onu ein on regilin lahavi al shulchan loy melech v'leifton. We're not so particular. Mishum de pas shalonu choshev. It's a very choshev a pas. It's very tasty on its own without having to add anything. Varihuk yehad yom lebasamach. Like the Gemara says, lestin tzorach boishesh. You don't have to wait for melech because this bread is first class. Rabbi Nachum was very careful always to have salt on the table. When people are sitting together at a table, and they're waiting for each other until people wash their hands, and during that time they're all speechless, a rare time that people are not talking. The Satan says, no, Rabbeinu Shalom, you see all these hundreds of Yidlach sitting around, not one of them is saying a Dvar Torah. Ubris Melech, Megin Aleim, and the Bris Melech, the covenant of the salt, that protects them. That's why people always put salt on the table. Anyway, that was that Gemara.
Times because of the pasuk.
That's exactly, that's a separate Indian. Also later on in the Gemara brought halfway down, it's a good thing to go and throw some melech in your mouth after you finish eating. That's good against...
With a tequila.
I'm sorry?
With tequila and lime.
With tequila? That's a drink?
Okay.
I didn't know what he meant, a kilo or a chimra. It's a chimra that you have to do. It's a kilo. Okay, it's not a kilo. Anyway, you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to take some salt. Good, it's all fascinating. So getting back to our Gemara, Gemara is telling us now right before the Mishnah, Karav, Omer Rav, Kol Suda Sheim B'Melech, if you don't have any salt, Ein a Seuda, that's not really considered to be a Seuda because of all the foregoing reasons that we just gave. Why does this Gemara come up over here? This Gemara should come up earlier on when we had all that discussion about the Melech and Daf Mem. So in fact, there is another Girsa, not Sheim B'Melech, Since we started off our Mishnah, that you should always, not that you should always have, that if you ate something very salty, and now you're eating the bread to the saltiness, it becomes a tuffel metaneker. So our Gemara is telling us it's always a good idea to have something salty on the table besides everything else that you're eating. The Gemara doesn't give a reason why, but just saying, if it doesn't have maliach, senish kasudim. Rabbi Barabba, Rabbi Yochanan, kosudishim, but sarif, Rashi says sarif means soup. If you're sitting at a table and they don't give soup, you gotta have the soup as one of your courses. Okay.
Well, Klal usually comes lasuye mai. I'm waiting for the punchline. Where's the Zach Klal coming to?
In our Mishnah, good to shy. The Gemara doesn't say.
It follows.
Yes, to include something else. Okay, on to the next mission. The Mishnah Vayitem. Ochal anovim uteinim v'rimoyim. Now we're eating from the Shiva Saminim. We all know that the halacha is when you're eating from the Shiva Saminim, you have to make a special brocha achroina. If a person eats, for instance, a huge quantity of apples, he makes in advance a boir priya eitz, but at the end you only make a boir nefoshes. If the person ate oranges, boir priya eitz, at the end boir nefoshes. If a person ate many other different types of fruit, boir priya eitz, but if you eat from the Sheva Minim Shinishtapu Ben Eretz Yisrael, putting aside for a minute the first two Chita and the Saora, if you're eating from the Geffen, Te'ena, Verimoin, from the Zayas, or from the Tmarim, any of the other five, then besides making a Beir Pia 8, at the end you have to make a special bracha. The bracha that we make today is the bracha achas me'ein shalosh, which people refer to as the alamichya. Alamichya is a little bit inappropriate when you're talking about peiros. Alamichya, you say on cake or on noodles, things of that nature, on crackers. However, when you're talking about the others, it's really the ala eitz v'al priyetz. But we know what we're talking about. But that's the minhag today, but in fact, at the time of the Mishnah, it was a machloikis, because the Tanakhama, Rabbi Gamliel says, Mavorach acharein sholish brochais. If you ate enough anovim te'enim v'rimoinim, you have to bench divrei Rabbi Gamliel. You only have to have the bruch achroina of mi'ein shalish. Mi'ein shalish means that it is an abridged version of the benching, what we call the al ha'etz ve'al priya etz, or al ha'aretz ve'al peiros at the end. That's the bracha that you make. Rabbi Akiva Omer, afilo ocha shelek. Shelek we had before, shlokais, means cooked vegetables. V'hum mezoinai, if that is giving that person full sustenance that he feels satiated, v'varach olav sholish brachas. Even on that, you would bench. We don't paskin like that, but that's what Rabbi Akiva says, and we'll talk about that more on the Omid Beis. A person is thirsty and is drinking water. You make a bracha shehakel, as we all know. Reb Tarfon Oimer, no, you don't make a bracha shehakel. You make a bracha boire nefoshes rabbis vechesreinim. Reb Tarfon is not referring to making a bracha post drinking the water. He's talking about pre drinking the water. That when you're going to go and drink water, don't make a shehakel, says Reb Tarfon. You make a boire nefoshes rabbis. How do I know that that's the pshat in our Mishnah? Rashi is silent. However, if you look on Daf Memhei Omid Aleph and the second Tosfos, Reb Tarfon Oimer, Boir Nefoshes Rabbis, Pirush Lefanov, that's the bracha that you make before the Mayim, not after the Mayim. So we have a machloikis, what bracha you make before the water, as we will conclude in Miyat Hashem at the end of today's Daf. In fact, we want to make everybody happy. We make both brachas, the first shehakel before, and the boir nefoshes after. But that's not what Reb Tarfon holds. He holds you make a boir nefoshes before. Zok Yimar. We started off in the Mishnah that Reb Gamliel says that if you eat anovim te'enim v'rimoinim, you bench. My time at Reb Gamliel. Where did Reb Gamliel take this from? The Chassid says in the Pasuk, Eretz Chita Usa'oira. Now we have the benefit of the Torah Oreh Shalom over here, and it brings three psukim in a row. If you look on the left-hand margin, Eretz Chita Sa'oira Gefen te'enim v'rimoin, Eretz Zei Shem Nedvash, that's of course the Shiva Saminim. And then the next Pasuk says, Eretz Ashaloi B'miskenes Toichem Alechem. In Eretz Yisrael, there's nothing missing. You have everything. And you'll have, Baruch Hashem, lots of bread. Lo'isechsa kolba, you won't miss anything. Eretz Ashavaneh, Barzo, Merah, Toich Taftu, Choshes. Next boss, if V'yachalta V'savata V'irachta Hashem Alekech, L'Eretz V'tov V'shenos Alach. What does this V'chalta V'savata refer to? Says Ram Gamliel, refers back to the first pasuk of the Eretz Chita Sa'oda. These are three psukim in a row. Ches, Tes, and Yud in Parshas Devarim. Sivichalta or Veschanan. Sivichalta Savata is referring back to the first pasuk, and it's saying about any of those seven minim, including not only Chita Sa'ira, but also Gefen Tein Arimain, all of them, if you eat a kedei sviya, uvirach, they have to go and edge. That's the Mekor for Gamliel. Tchsev back to the Gemara says Eretz Chitus Oyru. Tchsev Eretz Hashem Leschein. Just like Lechem. Tchsev Chalz Mitzvot Verachta. Eretz Hashem Lekecha. Therefore, that's how I know you have to bench. Rabbanon Choyer Gamliel is a good point. Says Rabbanon Eretz Hifziko Inyan. Since these are three separate psukim, and the middle pasuk Eretz Hashem Leschenus comes in between the Shiva Saminim and the pasuk Chalz Mitzvot Verachta. That being the case, when do you have to bench? It's only on the second pasuk, not back on the first pasuk. The second pasuk was Eretz Asher L'Miskenus Toicha Ba Lechem, bread. Next pasuk, Bechaltes Votzei Verachta. Oh, you have to bench on bread. You don't bench on pasuk Ches. You on pasuk Ches. You only bench on pasuk Tes, where you have the lechem. How do you know the benching from pasuk Yud at the end? Yeah, is that fairly clear? Good. So that's the machloikis on which. Which does the pasuk v'chalt v'savot uveirachta, on which min does it require the veirachta? Is it only on the pasuk beis that's the lechem, or is it going back on the pasuk aleph, the eretz chitusoy? Good. V'ram Gamliel nam the eretz ifsik, and what does he do with the fact that that middle pasuk kind of gets in the way of the shiva saminim and the pasuk v'chalt v'savot uveirachta? That's coming to exclude a person who is chewing on chita. What do you mean a person chewing on chita? The word chewing is lav dafka that he's chewing. It just means any time that you're not eating it in the normal fashion, the Gemara calls it koises. In the case of wheat, the normal fashion, of course, would be to go and grind it up, make it into flour, make it into dough, bake it. And this person wants to eat it when it's in its chita, in its wheat kernels. So that's how do you eat such wheat? You chew it, and you chew it. I don't know if you swallow it, if you don't swallow it, but that's how they ate chita. They were koises chita. What bracha do you make on koises chita? We had this already before in our parak. You make a boire pri huadama. Ah, if you're making a boire pri huadama, maybe you're supposed to bench. That's why you have the eretz of pasuk beis to tell you it's tafka eretz asher toicha balechem if you're eating bread. But anything less than bread, even though it's chitu se'oira, like the first pasuk, no. You don't go and bench. In fact, you don't even make moitzi lechem and aretz, but rather you go and just make on it a boir pri adama, and at the end you'd presume make either boir nefoshes, and if you swallow you had enough of an amount, but either boir nefoshes, or perhaps you make alamichya, based on earlier gemaras in our perek. Anyway,
earlier that the whole thing with Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Gamliel, when they ate, they drank wine, Rabbi Gamliel told Rabbi Kiva, go bench, and Rabbi Kiva jumped up and only did the Brachot and Shalosh.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the source of that.
Exactly.
But the question is here, Rabbi Kiva says, even Shlakos, you make
a benching.
Bench.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying, Shlakos, yes, but why not? That's just, I guess, Rabbi Kiva sees it.
Because he probably holds food is more chashim than drink. That on food, if you're koveya and you eat a full meal of cooked vegetables, there are people today that are very weight conscious in calories and carbohydrates and proteins and all that type of wonderful stuff. So they'll eat lots and lots and lots of that. But I don't know of anybody that feels that if you drink a whole suda of drinking bottles and bottles of wine, that that's sufficiently nutritious to allow you to go the rest of the day. In fact, the person will probably get a little.
The wine was soy.
But that filled the person up. Right. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, right, that's where the Pesukim come to say. Om Rabbi Yaakov Bar Nidi, Om Rabbi Chanina, Kol Shu Mechei Chamesha Saminim. Chamesha Saminim means the five different types of grain. What would those types be? The Chita Sa'oira, and then you have Koismin, Shiboy the Shual, and Shipoin, which one is rye, and one is oats, and one is spelt. So those five. But Chilm Baruch Ala Barim and Mizayin is. Say Baruch Achas Main Shalish. Of course, we're not talking about making a bread out of them. Bread you'd have to make Hamoitzi. But if you're making anything else, like a cake out of them, or a farina, or something like that, you Barim and Mizayin. And at the end, Achas Main Shalish, you make an Ala Mechia. Om Rabba Bar Mary, Om Rab Shimon Levi, Koshum Shiva Saminim, to the exclusion of the Chitu Sa'ira, only the other five, but Chila Mavarech Bar Pri Eid, but Lefsaid Mavarech, Brocha Achas Mein Sholish, like the Chachamim said in our Mishnah, the Allah Eid, Vial Pri Eid. Om Leabai Levdimi, my new Brocha Achas Mein Sholish, we've spoken so much about it, can you tell me what the text is? Om Le, sure! I paid the eight. If you're eating payers of eight, then you make al eight val priya eight val tenuvas asoda. Tenuvas asoda means the produce of the field of the land. So before we continue on, the al tenuvas asoda, the al eight val priya eight val tenuvas asoda, that's referring to the first bracha of the birchas hamazon, which is hazon es oilam kula b'tuvay. The second bracha is noidelcha Hashem lekenu. So starting from Val Eretz Chem de Tovur Rechava, this is now the abridged version of the second brach in Benching. Shechal Tov Yisein Lecha Pilar Tuva, to go and have it will be satiated from its wonderful good stuff. That's the end of the second bracha. Now we're on to the third bracha, Rachim Hashem Lekenu Yisrael Mech, which is Rachim No, the beginning of the third bracha of Benching. Etc. So that is all connected the third bracha, which starts with Rachim and ends off with Bnei Yerushalayim. Baruch Atah Hashem, Bnei Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Amen. So that's the third bracha. And finally, even the fourth bracha they threw in, Ki Atah Tov V'Meitu L'Koil, that's Merames on the fourth bracha of benching, which is the Birchas HaTov HaMeitiv, the final bracha. The reason why the Mishnah refers to it Mein Shalosh, because there are only three brachas Min HaTorah. The Tov HaMeitiv was a fourth bracha that the Chacham added on. That was a fourth bracha. Anyway, that's all wonderful if you're talking about Peiros 8. What about the Chamesh HaSaminim, the five different types of grain? Then you make it al Nechbi al Kolavat, and it was a Sada, v'chuli. Same text otherwise like we had before. V'choisim, instead of saying at the end, ala oretz v'ala peiros, you make a bracha ala oretz v'ala mechya. Mecht v'mayim chosim, what bracha in terms of the baruch ato Hashem do you say at the end? Ki asrav dimi omer rav chosim b'reish chodesh baruch mekadesh yisov rosh chadoshim. If it was rosh chodesh and you're davening musaf, then you go and make a bracha mekadesh yisov rosh chadoshim. Hachamai, what would you do over here? This sounds so strange. The person is in the middle of eating either the peiros, he's eating the cake, and we want to know what bracha she make at the end. Oh, let me get to, just tell you that on Musaf, by the way, in Yedamnik Shmanasve, don't forget to go and see Mekadesh of Rosh Chodashim. You know, where does this come in the middle? Are they going to add now another line, and don't forget on Purim to go and lay the Megillah? Blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So, in fact, the Vilna Goin in Oiz Beis says this whole line is unnecessary and should be deleted. If you look at Beis here in the Hagoyes Agra on the right hand side, Sham, Kios of Dimi, here on the right hand side, Kios of Dimi, Omer Rebbe, Chosim Rosh Chodesh, Baruch Makadish, Sov Rosh Chodashim, Hachamai, he just takes out that whole line of text and therefore it's much simpler. However, the Rashi is Goydis this line of text, so how does Rashi learn Pshat? Rashi says that the concern over here is that when you make a bracha, you're not supposed to pair together two separate ideas. Each bracha should only be on its own and not combine two things together. So therefore, there was a concern about, can you go and say, ala oretz v'al ha-peiros? Aren't you thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael? You're thanking Him for the peiros. These are two separate ideas. But how do we do in Rosh Chodesh? There we combine Mekadesh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodoshim. So how does that work together? So the pshat from the Rashi, it sounds like, is because the two are really one instead of two separate ideas. In which respect are they really one? Because by Rosh Chodesh, we're saying Kodesh Baruch Baruch Ato Hashem, we're thanking Hashem, Hashem is blessed, who is Mekadosh Yisrael, who they in turn are the ones that are Mekadosh the Rosh Chodesh through the Beis Din procedure of making new Rosh Chodesh every single month. In the good old days, before we had the Luach of today, when the Beis Din in Yerushalayim would go and decide each time the new month. So therefore, it's really one idea. We're thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu that he's Mekadosh Yisrael, who themselves are those that are Mekadosh, the new Rosh Chodesh. So Hashem is, we thank Hashem regarding Klal Yisrael. What did Klal Yisrael do? Parenthetically, Rosh Chodesh. See here too, says the Gemara, Hachamai, Rav Chizda Oma, Ala Oretz Val Perisea. These are really not two separate things. We're thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, Eretz Yisrael produces the peiros which I just ate, and that's the reason why I'm making the bracha al Eretz Val Peiros.
And if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, if you're in Chutz, stay tuned. Okay.
For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, what bracha do you make al Eretz? What did it say?
Val Peiros.
Val Peiros. So now, what's the reason why Rav Chizda says al Eretz Val Peiros? And Rabbi Yochanan says, all it's all the payers. Rabbi Amram, very simple, there's no machlekes. It depends where you are. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you say, Al Oretz Vial Peiros Seho, and it's Peiros. If you're in Chutz Loretz, you say, Al Oretz Vial Ha Peiros.
It's the opposite. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is Eretz Yisrael.
Very.
Okay.
A little patience. Okay. A little patience. The obvious question is, where did Rav Chisda live? Rav Chisda lived in Chutz Loretz. Rav Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. Wouldn't it make more sense for Rav Chisda to say Al Oretz Val Peiros and Rav Yochanan to say Al Oretz Val Peiros Seho? And it seems to be in reverse. And in fact, this is not only what's bothering Barry, this is also bothering Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Mask of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and in parentheses, and also Barry. Inu Achli, Vanan Mevorachid. We are the ones, or they're the ones that are eating, and we're the ones that are making the bracha. Meaning, we happen to be here in Chutz Laretz. Eretz Yisrael is the one that have the Eretz Yisrael Dika Peres. So therefore, they're eating, and we should make the brach al Oretz Val Peres. When they are eating, they should make the brach al Oretz Val Peres. When we're eating, we should make the brach al Peres. This seems to be v'nahapachu. It seems to be upside down. And in fact, therefore, says the Gemara Eipach, we're talking going to be mahapach, the two. Rav Chisda Omar al Oretz Val Peres, gezuntait. Rabbi Yechon Amma gives them tight again. Rabbi Yechon Amma, the Earth will praise that. Yes, everything is good.
Very good.
Say Baruch Hashem. Okay, so Gemara gets right. We're going to see now at the top that what is so posh to us that whenever we eat anything, we have to make a bracha at the end is not so simple. Because there's a big machloikis whether you say Bar Nefashos after all of the various foods that you eat that do not require benching or don't require the longer bracha achroina of the alamichia or the alapeis. So says Yimor, Amr Yitzchak Bar Avdi Mimishim Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu in this connection is probably Rav. Al Habeya, if you're eating eggs, Valmine Kufra, and different types of meat, but Chil Mavorach Shahakel, you make a Shahakel before, like we know. Philipsoif, when you finish, you make a Burn of Foshes Rabbis, Vichuli. Aval Yarka, if you're eating just vegetables alone, Loi, you would only make the Shahakel before, but you would not make a Bracha afterwards. You just as eat as many vegetables as you want, a freebie, you don't make a Bracha at the end. Rabbi Yitzchak, I respectfully disagree. Aval Yarka, even after vegetables, you have to make a Burn of Foshes. If you're just drinking water, loy, then you don't have to make a bracha achrona. Even after drinking water, you also have to make a bracha achrona of the bar nefashos. So now, the first two mandiyamim that we had, the first one was Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi. He was the one that said, you make it on eggs, but you don't make it on yarka. And then we had Rav Yitzchak that said yarka, but not on maya. So now the Gemara refers to Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi as having kind of a double name, Rav Yitzchak, the son of Abdimi. Or Rav Yitzchak, the second Rav Yitzchak, is just a single name. We don't identify who his father was. Says the Gemara, Marzutra Ovid Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, Marzutra followed the opinion of Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, meaning that he would not make a bar nefashos on yarka, on vegetables. Rav Simba Rashi, Ovid Rav Yitzchak, he made it on vegetables, but he didn't make it on maya. Now, if somebody is going to ask you later in the day, who held like whom, the Simonach, I have a simon, easy way to remember. Chad kitrei, utrei kechad. One was like two, and two was like one. What does that mean, one is like two, and two is like one? It's like we said, Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi is two names. Yitzchak Bar Abdimi. Who Paskin like, or who was Noyheg like Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi? Marzutra. That's only one name. So one name followed the two names. On the other hand, Rav Yitzchak, that was the second one that we quoted, who followed him? The one that followed him was Rav Simi Barashi. So we have a two-named person following Rav Yitzchak, which was a one-named person. So therefore, Chad Ketrei, one is following Marzutra, like Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, the two names, Utrei Kechad, and Simi Barashi was following Rav Yitzchak, which was the one name. Good. Rav Ashi, Anna, says Rav Ashi about himself, Zim V'chim Matkarna, when I remember Avidna Kekulu, I follow all of them. Following all of them means he follows like Rav Papa, that says that you have to go and make a Bar Nefashos even on water. What is our minog? Top toisvis, Avidna Kekulu, V'chein on a noyegim k'Rav Ashi, and we're noyeg like Rav Ashi just said, V'chinen Boser Mayu Boser Yarka, after everything we make the Bar Nefashos rabbis like Rav Ashi and like Rav Papa. So to more about it tonight. Kosher toin brachli achrav toin brachlefanim. Now we're quoting a Mishnah that we learned not too long ago at the end of Masechtas Nida. Masechtas Nida, there were a whole bunch of Mishnayos that came in the same pattern that something is chayv in this and it's potter in that, something is potter in this and chayv on that. A whole series of Mishnayos which were not related in terms of halacha, only related in the pattern of how the Mishnayos ran or were set, or collected. So says the Mishnah, kosher, toim bracha le'achrab, anything that requires a bracha after the item, toim bracha lefanav. It certainly needs a bracha before. So for instance, any food item that you have a bracha at the end, you have to make at the end, ala mechia, ala eit, barna farshois, you have the bench, then it also requires a bracha at the beginning. However, yesh, shetom bracha lefanav, that you make a bracha before, then toim bracha le'achrab, but you don't have a bracha afterwards. So when do you have such a case of a bracha before and you don't have a bracha afterwards? That's the top man yama that we just had now, that you make a bracha of boirin priyu adama, but you don't make a boirin afashis. You don't make a bracha afterwards. That you make a shahakal, but you don't make a boirin afashis. And the rabbi lafuke maya, kunter papa, you always make a bracha before and afterwards. So, like we do. So, lafuke maya. So, you lafuke mitzvahs. For instance, if a person goes and puts on his talis, would be at the beginning of davening, he makes a bracha l'sata batzitzis, but when he takes it off, he doesn't make a bracha. When you go and blow the shofar, you make a tkiya shofar, right? You make a special ashek shem b'soizim, v'tzivonu. But when you stop blowing, you don't make a new bracha, and when you go out of the sukkah, you don't make another bracha. So all of the mitzvahs that we do the mitzvahs, we make a bracha before, but we don't make a bracha afterwards. So that's a good answer. However, Bnei Barov and Eretz Yisrael, the Bosses Mesalki Tfilayu, when they would take their tefillin off every day, Mevorchi, they would make a bracha, Asher Kedushan Metzoyis V'tzivanu Lishmar Chukov. Oy, 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 oy. So they made a bracha at the end as well. Lafuke Maisa, then there's no case that you make a bracha before and you don't make a bracha afterwards. Evdim Lafuke Rechni comes to exclude Rechni, which means besamim. We make a bracha when we go and smell wonderful spices, like on Matzah Shabbos when we smell the psalm. But after you finish smelling, you don't make a second bracha. You only make a bracha lefanav v'loy li'achrav. L'choyer, the Gemara could have given another answer, that since Bnei Marava only make this special bracha of Asher Kedushan Metzoyis V'tzivanu Lishmar Chukav after they take off their tefillin, but they don't make such a bracha when they put down their lulav, or when they come out of their sukkah, or when they take off their talis. So the Gemara could have answered, those other mitzvahs besides the tefillin, those are the ones that our Mishnah is referring to, that is a bracha lefanav, v'loy bracha le'achrav. So this is not only my kasha. If you look at the end of this second toisis, the last three lines, v'kasha tamamotz l'shnu yehachi, the Gemara could have given a much easier teretz. Lafuki shar mitzvahs afilu b'nei marava. It's coming to exclude the other mitzvahs, the non-tefillin mitzvahs, that even the b'nei marava, they're makbed by tefillin to go and make a bracha le'achrav, but the other things they didn't. Why talk with the makbed davke by tefillin to make a bracha le'achrav as opposed to the other ones? So right, that's what the toisis is occupied about. It says because it's in the past, v'shemartes achuka hazois l'moyad v'miyomim yimima, and b'nei marava darshan that pasuk to tell you, you only wear tefillin during the day and not at night. That's a chuk hazois l'moyad v'miyomim yimima. So when they would take off the tefillin at night at the end of the day, then they would say shekachem b'tzois yivana lishmar chukav. We're shomer that chuk of that pasuk of shemartes achuka hazois. But that's only by tefillin. There's no such pasuk by all the other mitzvahs. So therefore, the other mitzvahs, they in fact did not make a bracha li'achrav. Okay, back to Yimar. Omer Biani, Omer Rabbi. Koshehu kibeya, beya toiv mimenu. Now we're going to go into, from here until the bottom of the Amid, we're going to talk about various foods, which ones are healthy and which ones are not healthy. As we've mentioned many times in the past, the Achroinim say that a lot of this is not noigea bezman hazeh, because the teva, the nature of people's bodies and the culture and the environment have major, there have been many major changes from the times of the Gemara till today. So it doesn't mean that none of this applies, but not everyone is an ironclad rule that you'd start changing your diet based on what we're going to learn in the Gemara. Just simply because the nature of our bodies, the anatomy, the biology, the culture, the environment, the climate change, whatever is going on in the world, Gesundheit, that has a major effect on the body, and that's why things are a little bit different. What's up there, Brother Shai?
It's a hot topic, this climate.
It's a very hot topic. Exactly. There have been a lot of hot tempers about the cold environment and all the rest. Yeah, okay, back to Yigmar. Omer B'yani, Shkoyach. Omer B'yani, Omer Rebbe Yikoshu, Kebeya, Beya, Toib Mimenu. Any food item that you're going to eat the sheer Kebeya, Beya in this sentence is being used two times. One kibbeah means the size of a kibbeah, the volume of an egg. And then the beah means the egg itself. So if you're going to go and take, for instance, a kibbeah of fish, or a kebaya of cheese, lemoshel, beyatoimimeno. It's healthier to go and eat the egg itself as opposed to the volume of an egg of the cheese or of the other food. That's the beya is healthier. It's gesundheit, it's a protein. Gesundheit. Ki osa Ravin. Ravin went a little bit further. Gesundheit again. Ki osa Ravin omar tova bei osa migulgalta meshita kaisi salta. Having a beya, an egg, migulgalta, Rashi said migulgalta means it's tsluya lacha veraka, means light roasting of this egg, a light roasted egg, is better, tova, meshita, than six kaisi. Rashi says kaisi is a mida, mida means a container, or a measure that can be machzik, that can hold a loig. So one beya, which is lightly roasted, is better for the body, more nutritious than six loigim of solta, of soilus, of flour. What we just heard from Ravin was accurate, that one lightly roasted egg is better than six. Matvisa, if it's very well roasted, not just partially soft roasted, but very well roasted, it's better than four of the four kaisi solta, of four loigin of soilus of nice flour. Nevesholta, if you're not talking about a roasted egg, you're talking about a boiled egg, then kol shehu kebeya, any other food item which you have the volume of a kebeya, this is what Rabbi Yanai was speaking about before, beya tov mimenu, beya is better than it. So you're much better off eating an egg rather than the volume of an egg of cheese, for instance. The bar with one exception, that exception is mibsara. Eating a piece of meat is still better than eating the egg. So having the volume of an egg of meat is better than eating an egg itself, because that has more minerals, more nutrients, etc.
But better a roasted egg than a boiled egg.
Right.
A better
boiled egg, right.
Yeah, it would so appear. Rabbi Kiva Omer, afilu ochal shalakim, if eating shlokos, shlokos again means vegetables that were cooked. So the Gemara said that can old, if you ate enough to satiate yourself, to fully satiate, then you make on that, according to Rabbi Kiva, you would bench. Is there such a shalik, such a cooked vegetable, that you can go and say it's mozin, that it satiates the body with the full nourishment, that I go and say, Rabashi says, you're right. On tomatoes and cucumbers, you couldn't do it, but if you eat the kolochim, kolochim are the stems, krum of cabbage, if you eat cabbage stems, in other words, from which the leaves emanate, if you eat a lot of those, that fills you up, and that's kishmak, and you can bench on that. Tonerban, tchoil is spleen, yofalishinam, that's very good for chewing for the teeth, the kashmanimanayim, but eating spleen is not good for your innards, for your intestines. On the other hand, creation leaks, kashmanimanayim, that's bad for the teeth, the yofalimanayim, but they are very good for the stomach, for the intestines. Kol yerek chai, if you're eating raw vegetables, moirik, that can cause the person's face to become pale. V'chol katan, if you eat any type of food which is underdeveloped, for instance, Rashi says, like we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that if you ate from a very young goat or from a very young sheep, lamb, which was not fully developed, and the Gemara is going to say, if it was less than a quarter of its potential future development, that is makdan chas v'shalom, that would stunt the growth of the person who is eating it. V'chol nefesh, if you eat an entire nefesh, for instance, an entire fish, even if you're talking about small little fish like small sardines, meshiv z'nefesh, that's very, very good for the neshama, meaning for the body. V'chol karav l'nefesh, if you eat anything which is very close to nefesh, the Gemara is going to say that means when you're shechting an animal, the mokam mashchita, the neck around the animal, which is where the shechita is, that's karav l'nefesh, karav to where the dam ha-nefesh yotzebo. If you eat from that, meshiv z'nefesh, that's very, very good because it's saturated with blood and it's close to the heart, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly.
You're supposed to eat the blood.
You're not allowed to eat the blood without salting it, but you can salt it, and then that's still very, very healthy. Just like a lot of people think that liver is very healthy. I don't know if it is or it's not, but a lot of people think that it is because it had a lot of blood in it. And yes, you roast it and you salt it and all of this, but it still has whatever blood that remains.
High in iron.
An iron. Oh, so you know, you hear, this is official now. Is kruv the muzzin? Kruv is cabbage, is good for muzzin, for satiating. But tardin is good, lirafua, tardin is beets. Beets cannot be beet, for a fua to go and have a fua to be healthy. Oy loy lebayis, or woe is it to the house? Shalef lefes iveris besoicha, where there are turnips that pass through that house. Meaning turnips are very, very injurious and damaging to a person's health. Okay. Says Imar, Omamar, Tchoyliya for Shanayim. The spleen is good for the teeth, for Kashtum Yimayim, it's bad for the intestines. So, Maitakante, what should you do? A person who wants to eat spleen, Nilase, he should chew and chew and chew, Vinishtai, and then he should go and spit it out. Because that would be good for the teeth, because he's chewed on it, like chewing gum, Vinishtai, and then he shouldn't swallow. Because if he swallows, it's going to go down, but anyway, so just go and chew it, and then spit it out. Creation leaks, Kashtum Yimayim, they're bad for the teeth, Vyavlam Yimayim, they're good for the intestines. Maitakante, what should a person do? Lishlakino, he should go and cook it very well, so that Vidaflino, he shouldn't even have to go and chew it anymore. He should just be able to go and swallow it down, so he's not going to injure his teeth. We're saying creation are bad for the teeth. If it's so well cooked, you won't have to even go and chew it. You just swallow it like a liquid, and it'll be good for the MBI. Kol Yerek Chai, any person who eats raw vegetable, Moirik, it causes the person to become pale. Amrav Yitzhak, we're not talking about a regular food item on the table. The person just let out blood. After that, they should go and eat twice a piece of meat, a piece of bread. He shouldn't go and eat yirokas. He shouldn't eat raw vegetables, because that would just not going to help him out, because he's lost the blood that he did through their cause. Even today, if a person goes for if you've ever donated blood for whatever cause, for a choyla, whatever, they'll always give you after that to drink something, to eat something, to go and replenish the orange juice and other stuff to go and replenish. But none of them give, and if they do, tell them that it's against the Gemara, they should not give out raw vegetables. That would not be good. Whoever eats in the morning, very early in the morning, before 10 o'clock, if his whole meal is just yirokos, eating vegetables, also the sapri menu, don't even talk to that individual. Why? My time mishim recha, he's going to have a terrible mouth odor by having eaten those yirokos, so stay away from him. Sit on the other side of the bismedesh if he's eaten raw vegetables in the morning before 10 o'clock.
Especially onion.
A person should not eat yerek chai before 4 hours. So number one, don't speak to a person who's eaten that, because you're going to feel the reach, and you yourself should eat from it. See, Mor tells us a real life story. These three were sitting together before 10 o'clock. Isaac and Mayu, Yerek Chai, they brought them fresh vegetables, presumably some onions. Kaidim Arbishoy is before 10. Amaim Ravashi, Ochum, they ate. Marzutra didn't eat. They said to Marzutra, "My Daitach, why don't you eat?" Probably because you hold like the first Rabbi Yitzchak. The Rabbi Yitzchak called Oichel Yerek Kaidim Arbishoy, so Slapat Sabri Menu Mishim Recha. And that's why you're not eating, because you don't want people to avoid you because of the reach. Vanan, we, Amei Meravashi, the Kochlin, and you see that we ate, the Kamishtai is Badan, you continue to talk to us. And obviously, you're a great Bal Nimus and Derech Eretz, but obviously it's not that blowout type of situation that you can't possibly talk. So you see, Nishke Ferlech, even the Rabbi Yitzchak gives this wonderful advice, but you see, it's not so terrible. Lahui said, if it would only be that first quote, I would agree with you. But I hold by the second Rabbi Yitzchak, the Svir Leg, the Rabbi Yitzchak, the second Rabbi Yitzchak was, don't eat it. It's not good for the health to eat it within the first 4 hours, and therefore I abstain from eating Yerek Chai until 10 o'clock.
So we have a seal here, we have all sorts of
Yeah, we presume we're talking about only Yerek Chai on its own without anything else. In fact, Imar is going to talk about that if you eat or drink other things, whether that can dull or amplify, etc. And once again, we're eating today, we're not eating 1500 years ago when the Gemara was written. Kol katan maktim. Kol katan means any underdeveloped meat, for instance from a gdi, from a that's a young goat, or from a young lamb, I should say. If you eat from that, chas v'sholem maktan, that could stunt a person's growth. Amar Rav Chisda, I feel a gadya bar zuza. Gadya is what we have at the end of the Haggadah, but there apparently it was more expensive at that time. I guess it's gone down. Chad gadya chad gadya, the zaban abba, betray zuza. And here you're buying it bar zuza only for one zuza. Anyway, what's the kavon of bar zuza? Says Rashi, bar zuza, that's very expensive because it was shmeina. It had a lot of schmaltz in it, it was geshmak and everything else, and that's why you paid a lot of money for it.
Usually goats don't have a lot of fat. Usually it's the sheep that have the fat.
That's why it costs the zoos. That's why it costs so much. Rashi says, Bar zuza kloimer shomein the toiv sheshove zuz. Can you imagine people paying one zuz for a gadget? Whew. Anyway, so even though it's nice and fatty and nice and good and geschmack and everybody licks their lips and all the rest and you patch the stomach and all the rest, Nevertheless, don't eat from that. Why? Because kolkata makta. That means that the growth of this gedi was less than a quarter of its potential growth in the future. If it's already grown more than a quarter, less than this halacha doesn't apply. So make sure when you are buying your gedi meat that it should be at least a quarter grown. Hopefully you'll say that on the outside of the package so you'll have no problems. Kol nefesh meishim nefesh. What does that mean? Kol nefesh Rashi means if you eat the entire nefesh, Rashi in the middle of the Omid, Dovrachai Hane'echal Sholem, something which is Edvarchai, meaning a living animal or creature, in this case a fish. If you eat the whole thing, you're going Dogim Ktanim, Shigodl Tzorchan, Rashi in the middle of Omid, Shigodl Kol Tzorchan, if you eat the entire thing. So getting back to our Gemara, Kol Nefesh Meshe Nefesh, Omar Papa, Fila Gildani, Debei Gili. Gildani means special fish whose name is Gildani. That was the name of the fish, the Gildana fish, the Begili that swim around in the swamps and in the marshes. Those don't get any. I'm sorry?
Goldfish?
Boatfish?
Goldfish.
Goldfish.
It's carp. It's carp. Goldfish are carp.
Okay. Anyway, if you eat an entire Gildana Begili, that's very, very gesund. The gefilte fish, everybody agrees that's the most gesund. That's because it has rochnius in it too. It's not just gashmius, it's the spirituality in the gefilte fish. Okay, kol karvel nefesh, meishim is a nefesh, together with the kegel and chums, but make sure you don't eat the chums with the, drink something in between. Okay, kol karvel nefesh, meishim is a nefesh. What means kol karvel nefesh? Amar vacha, amar yankif, unka. Unka means the throat, the neck. What's the neck? Because that's, says Gemara, because that's close to the base of Shechita. Like Gemara says, Omelei Rova, the Shamei, Rova would tell the Shamis. Ki maisel li umtza de misra. When you go to the meat market to go and buy me some meat, shrach, please be matriach, the icy leaf mehecha the mekrav leaf lebei barach. Go and buy the meat that's close to the where you make the bracha. What means close to where you make the bracha? When you're doing the shechita, you make a special bracha. Asherki shemetzoyis v'tzivano. Get piece of meat which is very close to that area because that's very gesund. That's very healthy. Kruv lemozim etarden lerfuah. Kruv is cabbage. Is for muslin to satiate yourself. Tarden is beets lerfuah. Zok tiyamar. It's mashma. Kruv lemozim in ulerfuah loy. Because we're saying it's the kruv that's the mazon, but the refuah is the tarden. We learned in a brisa, shishin varmer afen mesacholah. There's six wonderful things that you can eat. This is special. We call alternative medicine. You don't have to eat medications and drugs and pay who knows how much, but you can eat natural foods, and they are merapa esacholah mecholia refuah and refuah, and their refuahs are good to refuah. The elohim. What are the six? Kruv is the cabbage. Oh, so I see the kruv is also for refuah, and that's the moraskash because you said kruv lemazon v'tarden lerefuah. And tard, that's the beets we just spoke about. Umei sisin, and then it says dvash. We'll get back to that in a moment. And then it says vekeva, veheres, v'yeseres, akove. Now if you add that all up together, the first three, kruv, tard, and mei sisin, and then you add keva, heres, and yeseres, that gets you to six. But now we have the dvash here in between. And that's why there's the aleph of the gra that says, take out the word dvash. Otherwise it's seven, it's not six. However, there's another aleph from the Goyes Vitzionim that says, don't take it out, just go and change the dalet to a yud, and it's referring to yovesh. What is meisisin yovesh? So the English says from the art scroll that meisisin yovesh means pennyroyal, which is dry pennyroyal, that may, that you have either cooked it or soaked it, and that's how you, I don't know exactly what pennyroyal is, I've seen this, some from Brompton had pennyroyal. It's a beautiful, beautiful purple. So Mr. Friedlander showed us here on the Rabbi Google that it's of some sort of very pretty
purple flower,
and that's called pennyroyal, and it really looks royal. Yeah, a penny for your thoughts and a penny for the royal.
Violet is the color of royalty.
I'm sorry?
Violet, I mean.
Yeah, sure, purple for sure. Violet,
yeah.
From the mint family.
From the mint family? Yes. Oh, very good. Keva is one of the four stomachs. As you know, there are four stomachs in every animal. The keres and the keva, the basicosis and the hemesis. The keva is one of them. The fancy English word is the maw, M-A-W. Heres is referring to the womb in which the baby grows. The yeseres hakaved is referring to an outside membrane that is covering over the liver. So
isn't that chaylev, the yeseres hakaved?
And when you remove that part, which is the
chaylev, then you can eat the rest of it.
The part that you put on the mizbeach, put on the mizbeach. The part that you have to throw out, which is chaylev, don't eat. The part which is not, that you can eat. Anyway, ela'ema, so lemaisa, we're getting back to our question. We said that kruv is lemozain, and here you just said now is kruv is for refuah. Ela'ema kruv, af lemozain. Kruv has both. It's both mozain and refuah. Well, tardin is only refuah without the mozain. Stay away from turnips. Rabbi would tell the Shabbos. If you're ever going through the market and you see that they're selling lefis, they're selling turnips, don't ask me later on what relish did I use together with my piece of bread. In other words, what I use for a sandwich. Easy. Go and buy a turnip. We'll use the turnip for the contents in the middle of the sandwich. You just told me now turnips is gefährlich. What means mibli basar? If you have raw turnips or even cooked turnips, but they have not been mixed together with meat, those are gefährlich. However, if you've cooked them together with meat, Rashi says the basar is matish koicha, will weaken the strength of the turnip, and then it's okay. Rav Amar mibli yayin. That if you don't drink wine, in other words, after you finished eating from the lefis from the turnips, if you drink wine, that dulls the effect, that counteracts the effect of the turnip. Itmar, rav omen bli basar, cook it with meat, and that will dull the taste, counteract the taste of the turnip. Ushmul omar, not just the taste, but also the effects. Ushmul omen bli eitzim. Bli eitzim means what you have to do is cook it again and again and again. Don't leave out any wood or any lumber. Keep on cooking it numerous times until you weaken it, so then you can eat it without any difficulty. Rav Yechon omen bli yayin, like we said before, make sure to drink wine afterwards. Amli Rav Papa, Rav said to Papa, Sudni. Sudni has a number of interpretations, but the typical pshat is that the beer brewer, because Rav Papa was a beer brewer, so he says, Anan, we, Rav says, Tavrin in law, when we want to go and break the effect of the turnips, we do a bibisra by cooking it with a meat, or a chamra that we drink wine at the end. You guys don't drink a lot of wine, you drink a lot of beer, because you're beer brewers, the might of Rislo, so how do you break the effect of the turnips? We do it with wood. What means with wood? That we cook it many, many, many times. We use the wood for fuel until it really weakens the effect of the turnip. Says he marked out the bisu, the rapapa, rapapa's wife, the rebbetzin rapapa, basan vashalallah. After she would cook it, tavala, she would break the effect of the turnip. How? Betamnon ufi parsiyasa. Now this is a shtickle guzma. The word tamnon means 80. Ufi parsiyasa means logs of wood, which means that she would cook it again and again and again and again until she used up 80 logs of wood to go and weaken the effect of the turnip. Turnipon, dag cotton maliach, like a small sardine or maybe a small herring or something like that. Pomishu maimis, chas v'shalom, it could go and be a killer. B'shiva asr, ubi esim b'shiva. On the 7th day, on the 17th day, and on the 27th day, the Amri law, and others say, be Esa Mishloisha on the 23rd day. With the 7th day of what? So Rashi says, Limli Chosai. In other words, you took your dag cotton. Now, we may not be that familiar, but there are countries, I remember when I was with my wife in Ukraine years ago, many, many years ago, they had lined up almost on like a laundry line, you can go and buy dried out salted fish. So the fish was there on the line for maybe a month or longer, and people would go and eat it because it was preserved through the salting. And therefore, the Gemara is telling us is that on the 7th, 17th, or the 27th, or the 23rd day of the salting of the fish, it could be dangerous. The other days it's fine, but those days, for some reason, it's potent. That's tafke if you're talking about that it was not fried or processed or roasted. But if it was well roasted, in other words, if it was only partially cooked, it's still in sushi form, be noites. But if it's matvi, if you did a good job in cooking it, then you don't have to worry about it. Then you only have to be worried if you don't drink beer afterwards. If you drink beer afterwards, you don't have to worry, that will counteract any negative effects of the fish that had been salted 7 days, 17 days, 27 days ago. If you drink water for your thirst, lafuki mai was come to exclude him. Ravidi barav and lafuki the man de chonkesei umtsa. What happens if someone is choking on a piece of meat or whatever, and we're trying to get it down, and Mr. Heimlich or Dr. Heimlich is not around to do the Heimlich maneuver? So what are you going to do to get that meat down the throat? Go and pour lots of water to go and lubricate and get the meat down. You think I want water? I just drank 12 gallons of water. I'm doing it to get the meat down. So you don't have to make a special bracha on the water because you're not drinking it litzimoy.
Finally, if you're drinking water for, say, to take aspirin or Tylenol, then it would be similar. You wouldn't make
It depends whether you're thirsty at that time. If you have not drunk for the last 2 or 3 hours, even though the reason why you're taking it is course, you want to take the medicine, that's considered to be letzimoin, because anyway you would have been starting to drink sooner or later. But if in fact you just finished a whole meal and you're full to the brim, you had three bottles of seltzer and five bottles of wine, and you've drunk your, and oh, but I still have to take my medicine, then you wouldn't, because you're not drinking letzimoin, you're doing it because you forgot to do it before. Again, this was meant as a bracha rishoina. What's the halacha? Go outside and see what the folk is doing. So what is the folk doing? Says the top Rashi, what's the meaning? So in fact, we take both of them together, the two man, the Yom of our Mishnah, we make the bracha shahakal before, we make the brain of Foshes at the end. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai.